What's up, motherfuckers? This is the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club. We read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan. We're brothers, we read comics.
What's up, bitches?
Let's get this shit done. Let's get into it. Let's get going.
You know the deal, okay? There's time codes. Look at them. Figure out what you want.
Listen to all of it. Don't you skip.
Listen to all of it. Don't skip. I'll have the option there, but don't.
When we have ads, don't skip them. It's going to be
like,
everything.
It's going to be like a choose your own adventure. Like, it's all just going to go to the same ending. So
you better
don't even skip around.
You better buy everything that we advertise.
We don't have anything to advertise. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, right now.
Right now.
Rate us, Trade Waiters Pod. Rate us 5 stars while you're at it.
Yeah, 5 stars too. We gotta say that. Let's go to the news, Daniel.
Let's get it. Nathan.
Yes.
Star Wars Visions has been renewed.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that sick?
That's good news.
This is gonna be cool. I think it's actually coming later this year. It's already been in development. And we'll have a new season at the end of this year. Isn't that nuts?
Wow.
Yeah, it's fast.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, another short...
Like a season.
Yeah, another short season. Whatever they call it. I'd be cool if they just kept doing that, to be honest.
Yeah, like forever.
Just do it forever. Yeah, I'll watch them. I haven't watched all the first season, technically, still, but...
It's some good shit, Nathan.
Yeah, I agree.
Nathan, should we talk about the biggest news, probably?
What's the biggest news? Does it revolve around an actor?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're talking about.
What's the biggest news?
We're getting a sequel to Unnatural, Nathan, by Mirko Andolfo. It's called Unnatural Blue Blood.
What's Unnatural?
You remember that comic about, the pig?
No.
Oh, never mind. Just me then.
Mirko Andolfo. She's the artist, right?
Yeah. She's a writer and artist.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Big news.
This is like her creator-owned, written and drawn thing. It's really fucking good. I read all of the first...
That's right. I remember you recognized her as an artist. I'm like, you know who that is?
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, I've only seen her briefly. Daniel, here's some cool news.
Okay.
Some that especially you would like. IDW, right?
Yep.
They just brought this new editor. He's supposed to be really good. Or editorial director. His name's Mark Doyle. And I think he's been in Marvel or something before, but he's announcing 9 original comic book series for IDW, and we got some cool names tied to that. Okay. Have you heard of Scott Snyder?
I know him, yeah.
He's doing what looks like some sort of a war comic with a supernatural element called Dark Spaces Wildfire with Hayden Sherman.
Coming in July.
So you've seen this news?
I saw that specific news. I did not hear about the other titles.
Okay. Well, let me show you. I'm just going to skip to the one that I'm most excited about.
Okay.
Which is a comic called Arca, by Van Jensen, with art by Jesse Lonergan.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And look how sick that looks. Look at that cover.
Take my money.
It gets me all bricked up, okay? Arca, it's an unsettling original graphic novel about the lies we create and fight in pursuit of a better future. So that'll be super sick. We also got...
When does that come?
I think they all come around the same time in June, potentially.
Nice.
G. Willow Wilson, the one who... did the Miss Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
She's going to be on one called The Hunger in the Dusk, some sort of fantasy looking book with the artist Chris Wildgoose. Sweet name.
Great name.
And
I think that's a whiskey.
There's a John Ridley book, I believe, as well, that remains top secret. So got a bunch of new series. Some of them look really cool, but I'm most excited about Jesse Lonergan getting on another book.
Let's go.
I'm always foaming at the mouth when he announces a new series.
Yeah, dude, absolute dripping.
It's crazy. Daniel.
Nathan.
Remember Squirrel Girl?
Sure do.
You know how there's a really fun series that was written by Ryan North that came out a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Well, Marvel launches a Squirrel Girl scripted podcast from that writer, Ryan North, that picks up right from where his comic left off.
That's fun.
And the voice actor for Squirrel Girl is that AT&T girl that everybody likes.
Yeah, apparently she was supposed to actually play her in something.
Yeah.
And you can look up a picture of her in costume and shit. It looks really good.
It does look pretty cool. And now she's upgraded to doing just a scripted podcast.
That's fun.
But it's going to be a 6-episode Sirius XM podcast series titled Marvel's Squirrel Girl, The Unbeatable Radio Show, which stars Milena Vayntrub, who's that girl, the AT&T girl, written by North. And it's already debuted, but basically Squirrel Girl's running a radio show after she's taken down Thanos and Doctor Doom.
As you do.
Yeah. And
like, if anyone in the real world like took down Thanos, they'd start a podcast about
you
it.
You have to, yeah. I don't know how many episodes you get out of that, but yeah, it's crazy.
Dude, endless.
So in the story, it's a college station, and I guess people like call in and they're like, hey, I have this shit going on. I need superhero advice or whatever. It sounds really fun. I heard like a clip of it and I'm like, that's cool.
Huh.
Good for them.
Cool, cool.
So I thought that was interesting.
Nathan, Ezra Miller arrested again.
Yes, he's done it again. Twice in Hawaii. Just leave Hawaii. What are you doing?
Yeah, dude, he just lets loose in there. He thinks he's in Vegas or something.
Arrested on Tuesday morning around 1:30 a.m. Taken into custody after an incident at a residence in Pahoa on the Big Island. The police said that he like threw a chair or something at a 26-year-old female on the forehead, which resulted in approximate half-inch cut.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he was like arrested, and I think he was already released, but it was like second degree assault.
Dude was arrested at 1:30, and then he was just walking around. He's found near a highway, and then he was released from jail just after 4 a.m. I'm like, this dude was just like up trying to get out of jail at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, sick. Let's bounce. You dude, know?
What is going on with him? For sure, he's not going to continue playing The Flash after this, right?
He's absolutely unhinged. And I think it'll come down to whatever case or, like, I don't know, trials, or if he just, like, pays out whatever fines and shit like that.
I don't think
that.
There will be, like, any trials. I mean, he just threw a chair. It's not like it's going to be a high-profile case.
See if anyone presses charges, things like that. It's just weird, you know?
It's just weird marketing for this Flash movie, Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
but seriously, it seems kind of crazy right now, so hopefully he gets help, because you don't just, like, assault people all the time.
I'd be concerned if I saw him in public.
I'd be like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
I'm like, oh shit, let's like go the other way.
I'm not trying to be on a headline, you know?
Absolutely not.
Or maybe I can, and then I'll make a statement to the police saying, listen to Trade Raiders Pod.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller, I will fight you.
I could take that little bitch down.
Yeah, we could do it.
He probably weighs like 150 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Nathan, little piece of news. I don't know if you noticed this. It kind of went under the radar, but we got a Thor trailer.
Did we?
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if anyone was talking about it.
Yeah, Thor Love and Thunder looks pretty awesome.
Looks beautiful.
Looks great.
We didn't see Gore the God Butcher, which I'm a little bummed about, but
yeah,
it's fine, I guess.
Yeah, you don't really get a good... I mean, it is like a teaser trailer, so it's not like a full-on trailer.
Sure.
But teaser trailers are just like, here's some footage of the movie, but you don't really know what the plot is, I guess.
Yeah, which I think trailers should be like, but...
Yeah.
Like, so, based on like toys and stuff that's been released, it looks like... It'll just be a bald Christian Bale who's really pale.
Yeah. He doesn't look like he'll be like a...
Alien.
Yeah, alien god-looking
like
dude.
Tentacles on his head and like no nose and stuff like that, which would be cool, but it's whatever, I guess.
Did you see that reference to the comic? That Asad Ribic panel?
Yeah, dude, that was fucking crazy.
That huge god that's like a just animal-looking thing that's
just,
dead.
His skeleton or whatever.
Yeah, it's like...
That was fucking cool.
It's like one-to-one. So hopefully he gets some good cash money from that, but it's still pretty cool to see.
Absolutely.
When that movie comes out, I'm legit like down to just do like that full first 24 issues because I love that series so much.
Yeah, let's do the entire Jason Aaron run.
No. Because there's a lot of Jane Foster stuff, you know. If there's a Jane Foster Thor movie, we'll do the rest, you know, because that's like another 30 issues.
But
I love just like the Asad Ribic and Jason Aaron like portion of it. That
it's
was like 20 something issues.
Iconic, dude. When I was reading that, I'm like, this is so much comic, you know.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah.
And it starts off so strong, too.
Yeah, dude, it's like getting hit in the face with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, so we should do God Butcher and God Bomb, which I believe are the first two arcs.
For together. Sure.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But yeah, it looks great. I mean, we saw Jane Foster's Thor.
Looks great.
Looking pretty beefy.
Looks like
those arms.
Looks like someone put Mjolnir back together.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be, because Mjolnir's like back, right? Because Thor went back to Thor 2.
He had returned it.
Mjolnir. Oh, he did?
Yeah, like okay. Captain America returned it, I think.
And it looks like it was shattered, but then like put back together with like Asgard duct tape. Yeah. so it seems like Mjolnir puts itself back together and maybe goes to find Jane or somebody else that's like worthy.
I'm curious to see how they handle that. Jane found him. So,
well, we don't know what happened with Mjolnir up to that point. So I'm interested in like that story. I'm just interested about how this hammer comes back. Like that seems.
Yeah. Like who cares what Thor's doing?
I don't care what Thor's doing. I mean, he's lost some weight, so that's good for him. He's like running.
Like how he's doing like the battle ropes with like giant ass chains and shit.
I thought that was cool. And the Guardians are in it, so that seems like a fun dynamic.
Yeah, lots of fun.
We saw a little bit of Zeus, played by Gerard Butler.
Yeah, or yeah. No. It's not Gerard Butler. It's the other one.
Oh. Michael Crow? Something Crow?
Right. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, good.
I get them mixed up all the time, too, so no problem.
They look this... Why do people mix them up? It's not like their
Russell
names
Crow
are...
Russell Crowe is like the serious one, I think. And then Gerard Butler is just the one that was in like 300.
No, who's in Disaster Movies? Okay, all right, cool.
Wait, no. Fuck, I don't know.
No, Russell Crowe is in the Gladiator movie.
He's in 300, yeah. No.
That was
Gerard Butler.
That was Gerard... Okay. Anyway...
we could go in circles. I'm pretty convinced that they're the same guy.
Yeah, I've never seen them in the same room together.
Wait, which one was Zor-El?
Zor-El?
Yeah.
Oh, the dad.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe. I'm almost positive.
Are you sure? Okay, whatever. Never mind.
Daniel, Skybound X returns this summer, and there's going to be a new Battle Beast story reuniting the Invincible team of Robert Kirkman and Ryan Ottoli.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool.
I got to
But also, a part of that, the artist from Oblivion Song, Lorenzo De Felici.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be launching his new work that he's going to write, draw, and color himself called Chroma, which looks pretty fucking sick. So
Dope. Good guy.
So
good,
that they're introducing artist. The story in there.
I like his monsters.
Yes, I like...
They're very icky.
Good monsters. Good icky monsters.
Good monsters. Nathan, we got a trailer from a comic book writer who is directing and starring in it. It's called Good Morning. The comic book writer, Coulson Baker. Are you familiar with his work?
Uh-uh.
He wrote a book called Hotel Diablo, which was published by Z2, I believe.
Oh, okay. I like Z2.
Yeah. A lot of people might know him from his, like a stage name.
What's his name?
Coulson Baker, also known as Machine Gun Kelly.
Shut up.
He actually has a comic book
that
is based off of a song on his old album called Hotel Diablo. I saw it. And so he's going to be starring and directing in a movie with Mod Sun. I thought it was fun.
Wait, he's writing a comic?
He already wrote a comic. I saw it in like Barnes & Noble, and I'm like, what the fuck?
It's called Hotel Diablo.
Yeah, that's the comic.
Bro, this guy got fucked up in a rap battle so hard that...
He started making comics.
He's not even doing music anymore. Did you see that like Coachella clip or whatever of everybody like booing him?
There's a lot of those. Was there one at Coachella like this past weekend?
It seemed like it was a recent clip, so I figured it was just like Coachella. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
He probably like doesn't deserve all the hate, but like I don't think he's great.
Did you see, you saw all those covers that he did, right?
Yeah.
He did one with Aerials by System of a Down.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so bad because he was just doing the one note, singing it louder as if he's singing higher, but he's not, it's just louder.
The System of a Down singer has got a great vocal range. So yeah. It's like,
he's like an opera singer. Like, why does he think that he can compete with that?
He's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Anyway.
But like Post Malone could sing country. You know, he's got that like country performance.
Did you see that?
It's
that
was fucking sick. And like he's, or like he like covered Nirvana and shit as well. And it's also super good.
Mm-hmm,
so you got to put in the work, you know.
Rightfully so.
So anyway.
I have no more news.
I do have one more piece of news. DC Pride 2022 will reveal that Connor Hawk, the second Green Arrow, is asexual. So that's pretty cool.
Connor Hawk. Yeah, okay.
He's the blonde kid, I think.
Isn't he? Yeah, I know him.
Also, Daniel, coming to Phoenix Fan Fusion, the weird Arizona Comic Con that changed its name.
Yep.
Is going to feature your favorite artist, John Romita Jr. He's going to be there.
Oh, my God.
We can get shit signed by JRJR himself.
I can't believe he's going to that.
We could get that weird Spider-Man cover with his leg broken and then get that signed.
And then just ask him what he was doing.
Be like, why did his leg all of a sudden turn 90 degrees in the middle of his shin?
The thing is that I just have so many comics by him.
I do too.
So I could get a lot signed, you know?
I have so many mediocre action comics by him.
Damn. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. If people like him, you know, like what you like.
He's
great.
Kind of a legend.
He is a legend.
He's on a lot of big things.
He's quite the titan. It's absolutely. Just recently some of his stuff, you know.
I just wasn't a huge fan of All-Star Batman.
And that's okay.
And Robin.
And that's okay.
And then what was that? He co-created like Kick-Ass, you know?
Yeah. And obviously, he's incredible.
He did the World War Hulk or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
He's been around.
He deserves respect.
He's done tons of Superman.
But he did Eternals, remember?
Oh, yeah, he did do Eternals.
Works with Neil Gaiman.
I thought Eternals was great.
Mark Miller, Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
All-star cast of writers he's Bendis, worked with.
Bendis. All the goodins.
Yeah, all the goodins.
So...
All right, let's get to it, Nathan.
Let's get to it, Daniel. We read Usagi Yojimbo because it was Easter. And we're like...
This is our Easter episode, everybody.
What's a bunny? Yeah. He has risen. He being Usagi Yojimbo. Written, drawn, and lettered by Stan Sakai.
Indeed.
We read the one... It's not normally in colors, but they re-released it with color. And it was colored by Rhonda Pattison.
Yeah, really good colors.
Yeah, she did great.
I thought it fit really well. I felt like this is the original. You know?
It looked natural, yeah. Plus, like, why wouldn't you want to see those random dinosaurs colored, you know? Like, yeah. What are those?
if you're looking at the original run, the black and white, the story is called Samurai.
Yeah.
Which is the second volume. This is Usagi Yojimbo or Color Classics, which is, like, Origins Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
if you want to follow along or whatever.
So, yeah, we did technically read Volume 2.
But and then there were, like, Volume 1 was just, like, a bunch of, like... tie-ins and kind of like appearances and stuff like that, like, yeah, just
because Usagi originated in some other comic book before he was in his own, right? To my understanding, I think it said in like the creator bio at the end. Let me see.
Okay.
Yeah, Stan's creation Usagi Yojimbo first appeared in the comic book Albedo Anthropomorphics number 2 in 1984.
Mm-hmm. So I thought this was a delight to read.
This was wonderful.
It was a lot of fun.
It was just like so simple.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but also...
I feel like I learned.
There's a lot of... I feel like I learned too. I learned
a lot,
like,
about samurais.
Yeah, really about cool. Just like that sort of like Asian culture. And I thought it was really cool. And he's really good at making anthropomorphic animals wear some like...
Armor.
Kimonos and
shit. Yeah. Is it really easy like 80s comic to read, you know?
Yeah. For some reason, it was like split into like 10 parts that were 10 pages each or something like that.
Yeah. Some of them were like... whole issues. I don't know, it's strange, but they say it's only like 6 issues, but
yeah,
I don't know how it was cut up exactly.
Yeah, me neither. But let me just say, he's a dope letterer.
Yeah,
I awesome. Understand why he wins all of these like lettering Eisners.
He deserves it,
and he's in like the Will Eisner Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, I never,
because it looks like it was just typed out with Comic Sans or whatever.
Yeah, but he hand does it and he's creative with it, so that's just like insane. Yeah. To me, so he's it's clear why he's like such a great artist, and like a lot of people think of him fondly. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool. But yeah, Usagi Yojimbo, it's like a little like a bunny. Is a samurai.
So Usagi means rabbit.
Yeah.
And Yojimbo means bodyguard.
Yes.
So just rabbit bodyguard.
Yeah, I like that.
There's this cool thing that they do where there's like parentheses behind certain words in case that translate it in case you don't know what it means.
And I thought that was cool because I feel like I learned.
Yeah.
Katana means long sword.
Very good. Yeah.
Who would have known?
I didn't know that.
Or Wakizashi, I think, is short sword. And I'm like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And I didn't notice that he had both a short sword and a long sword.
Yeah. So, like, this trade isn't exactly like a full story arc. It's kind of an anthology in a way.
Yeah.
It's just like different adventures of Usagi. And then, like, one of them is like an origin story, which is cool. Just kind of see how he got to where he is now.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah. So, it opens with like a bunch of splash pages kind of in general of what happens in the story, but I'm just gonna start with part one.
Okay,
so it opens with like Usagi and he straight up kills a guy.
He's like a warthog.
He's like a warthog. I don't know what he was. Yeah, a warthog makes sense. And it's like in one of those anime fights where like they both lunge at each other and they do a swing and then they like stand apart from each other and then one of them falls down after some time. It looks like it plays out exactly like that, which I think is a lot of fun.
Blood is black in this, which I thought was strange.
I think that you just can't color that.
Oh, it was probably colored black.
It was like probably black in the black and white version.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I thought he was like wiping ink off of like
his
sword or whatever. But yeah, so Usagi has his boy, Jen, show up. And he's like, why did you kill this guy? So Usagi's like, let me tell you a story. And he starts from like the beginning of like him, his origin in general.
This is like How I Met Your Mother origin story. It took eight seasons to explain how he met his mother.
Yeah, like you could have wrapped this whole story up in like 5 minutes of the story and been like, yeah, I don't like him for this reason.
As soon as I understood why he killed him, I was like, you could have summed that up in a sentence.
I know, like you didn't have to start from the beginning, but
yeah,
this is a How I Met Your Mother story for sure. And so he starts from the beginning, and the first part is just him meeting his sensei, Katsuchi, who's like a lion. And this lion looks really cool because like his mane is like his hair, and his hair is really long. And I think that that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It like goes down to like the floor.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And something that I never noticed, like I know what Usagi Yojimbo looks like, or Usagi looks like. I never realized that his top knot was just his ears. Like
yeah,
kind of like banded together. I never like thought of it that way. I just knew like, oh, that's a bunny. But like the samurais have like a top knot to signify that they are samurais.
Yeah, they're like,
and so for bunnies they just like tie their ears together, I guess.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And I think that that's a great design element, I feel like. But in part two, in this part, like Usagi begins his training, which is like 6 months of him like doing the non-ninja things that you see in any like kung fu movie where they're like, you need to carry water.
Wax on, wax off,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah. So he's just like carrying water back and forth. And then he finally works up to practice with a bakken, which is a wooden sword. That's another thing I learned.
This dude didn't even like say he would train him. Like you saw, he just like followed him.
Yeah.
Home.
And then like, eventually and, like, slept he was outside. Just like, whatever, come.
Yeah. He's like, fine.
So,
dude, I like the lines that they use for shading and stuff.
Dude, they're really just like fun. The vertical lines.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
It just makes it look darker when it. But it's not like a coloring thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And I like some of the thought bubbles. There's like some thought bubbles that represent like progression where he's like walking down a hill and he's just like thinking. But the thought bubbles like connect at both at the top of the hill and at the bottom of the hill, mm-hmm. which is like representing him thinking like that whole time as he's walking.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really fun. But there's also fight scenes where like when people are hitting each other back and forth, like the lettering is just symbols. You know, so when he's like ambushed by a sensei, like the sensei has like just an exclamation point that's like super bolded.
Yeah, that
or when
his
like tension breaks, there's like this little shattering symbol almost it looks like.
Oh,
and so it's like not even words, they're just like random symbols, but like you understand what's going on at the same time. So I think that's really cool. Like it's clear. I don't even know if you can like consider that lettering, right? But
I mean, he had to like draw that and then he puts it in like a bubble. So
that's cool.
And then like sometimes when people like die, it'll be like a little skull in like a word bubble.
Yeah, I think that's
and
cool.
And it's really fun.
When he does a flip over Katsuchi, like the lettering is just flip as like the onomatopoeia.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of fun too.
Because that makes noise.
Yeah. So a lot of fun storytelling elements. And the action, when like the action starts and he's like sparring with the sensei, it's the very small like vertical panels in like quick succession. So just very good storytelling elements. And this is like what modern comics use as like storytelling elements. But this is like from the 80s. And so it's very readable. Like this shit holds up, especially it being recolored.
Yeah, I think it's a like this is one of those things that I just like had like a lot of fun and like it had a pretty good flow to it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun.
It's great.
Because it was like something you always kind of wanted to get to. Mm-hmm. This shit still gets awards and it's still going.
Yeah.
What, like almost 40 years later?
Yeah.
And I see, I get it now.
I get it too.
I get the hype.
I cannot wait for that Netflix series that they're coming out
it's
with.
It's going to be so sick, but it's not going to be as sick as this. It'll dumb it down to make it for like kids, you know?
It'll be sick in its own way, I feel. But this is like...
Sarah's going to be like, what the fuck are you watching? Be like, I'm like, it's Usagi Yojimbo.
I love Usagi.
It says Samurai Bunny. I'm like, same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So part three, Usagi is just like chilling with Katsuchi when some goons start like ambushing Usagi, and they're like, Usagi's like, my sensei will fucking kick your ass. It's like the my dad will beat your dad kind of deal.
Yeah.
And so they test Katsuchi's skills by putting a plum on Usagi's nose to see if Katsuchi could like cut it. So instead of doing that, Katsuchi draws his sword and just kills one of the men.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, like, run off. And that's basically all that happens this part. But you get a good idea of, like, how masterful of a swordsman this guy is.
He, like, is teaching him that, like, samurais don't seek out fights or do need this killing.
Yeah.
Which you see, like, Usagi, like,
he's
do, like, later.
He's very wise.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, hitting him, like, when he was just doing chores and stuff with, like, a stick.
Yeah.
And that, like, got his, like, instincts up, you know, to, like, cool. dodge shit.
Yeah. Like, Yusuke has to know that he could, like, be ambushed at any time. So, doing that sort of training helps him get yeah. there, which is fun.
It's a little abusive, but it's whatever.
I mean, you know, when you're training to be a guy that kills people, you know.
Yeah, a fighting guy.
You can't be able to just, do that. Like, be nice to him the whole time.
Right.
What are these little dinosaurs that just keep coming up? It just seems like they're, like, the animals in this universe are just, like, little dinosaurs. What dinosaur is that supposed to be? The one with the long neck?
Brachiosaurus?
Yeah. There's, like, dog-sized brachiosauruses just, like, hanging around the whole time.
I was just kind of thinking, like, oh, yeah, it's, like, a lizard or something. Because they're lizard size.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess that... Because, like, the
funny
people here are all animals, you know? Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It's but very...
Like,
also,
towards the end, like, there's just a normal dog. So, like, are there not dogs? Or... Are there dogs used as pets in this universe?
There's, like, cat people, so there should be dog people.
You'd think.
Like, I think it's funny because, like, some ninjas come up, and they're just all cats.
Yeah, like that.
Because, like, they cats would are quiet be. And shit. Yeah, yeah it makes a lot of sense.
It makes so much sense. Also, I like how in this part, just, like, these goons are just so non-threatening, and they're like, we're going to hurt you, but unless your sensei can, like, be good with the sword to cut this plum. Like, they're like, their intentions aren't to just, like, fight. They come up with just random tests for each other.
Right.
Which is funny. But part four, Katsuchi enters Usagi into the Tournament of Swords, which is hosted by the Dagora School. And so here, Usagi competes in the tournament, and he does really good, and he ultimately faces off against one of his old friends named Kenichi. And
he's also a bunny.
He's... What?
He's also a bunny.
Yeah, he is a bunny. And he beats his ass. And so Usagi is awarded with his famous Wakizashi and Katana swords. But what I think is funny is that before, like, Kenichi even goes up against Usagi, he goes to, like, his mentor and he's like, if I fail, I'm just going to quit. And I'm like, you don't need to do that. Like, you might just lose and that's okay.
Yeah.
But he was just kind of, like, very out of pocket to be like, I'm going to kick this guy's ass. And if I don't, I'll just leave. Mm-hmm. Like, chill out. And then we also see the leopard... dude or whatever his name
is. That's a tiger.
Tiger. I don't know. There's a lot of animals.
Lord
Mifun.
Yeah.
So that's a good design too.
I think it's
Mifun.
Mifun.
Mifun. Mifun.
Mifun.
Yeah, we'll do Mifun.
Yeah, he's a tiger and he's got like his own samurais that just kind of protect him and stuff.
Yeah.
And so what, when he wins this, he can like go work for him or whatever?
No.
Kind of thing? No.
If he wins, he gets like the swords, but this is where he's first introduced to him.
Okay.
And then later he goes to work for him.
Right.
As a samurai.
True, true, true.
I also like how, like, bitter Katsuchi is, because before the tournament goes, he's, like, telling him, like, spirit is more important than winning. But then he's also like, also, if you don't win, though, I'm going to beat you to a pulp.
Winning is everything, but
like,
you're going to win.
You should win, yeah. Or else I'll beat your ass.
Do not lose.
So that was fun. Part five, and, like, this is all him just telling a story, by the way. Like, to kind of bookend almost every part, it's just him and Jen talking. And
who's like a rhino.
Who's like a rhino. His rhino friend. And the rhino friend's like, why did you kill this guy? And like, it's just now five parts of him being like, here's my journey.
Yeah. I'm not done yet.
Yeah. So part five, it skips like 3 years or something. And Usagi's now just chilling on his own. And he's like meditating and stuff. And he meets Gunichi, which is the dude that he killed in the story that he's telling about. And Gunichi just like pulls up in like this outfit where you can't really see his face because he's got a big hat on and stuff. But he basically just wants to fight him because he's curious on who's a better fighter.
Yeah.
Which is a weird reason to fight somebody. Like you're just kind of, it's like the equivalent of like going out on the street and just like picking random people to fight with. Like, why would you just do that? You know?
Yeah.
But that fight gets interrupted by some students of the Dagora school that Usagi shat on in the last part.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both fight them off. And then Gunichi's like, okay, obviously we're both pretty good. So like, we don't have to kill each other now. But he's like, but if you're looking for a job, you can come serve Lord Mifun with me. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I like how the sword fights in this book are represented with like a bunch of lines that are going like across the page.
Yeah, or, like they're going the super fast or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's pretty fun.
The only thing that I didn't like love about this book was that some of the fight scenes didn't necessarily put like a picture in your head of like what exactly is happening, like the movements and stuff. Like you didn't necessarily like make up in your head what happens in between panels. you know, it's just like kind of fight poses and stuff like that. And so I don't actually know how the fight went or like the choreography, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a product of its time sort of thing.
I think
there
wasn't
a lot of examples of that, I don't think, back then.
Yeah.
And it's definitely come a long way.
I assume now he's probably focused on that a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
With like more recent stuff.
I don't know. After this, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of good stories in there. I'm like, what are these other like 1,000 issues or whatever about?
I don't know. Is he telling more stories and starting from
just all
birth?
Fights?
Yeah. And like, I noticed that there's a lot of pages where Usagi is just like getting dogpiled by like 5 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how is he supposed to like fight all these people? And then like next panel is like, I killed him.
Yeah. They're just on the floor.
So it's just supposed to represent that like he's getting in this fight and he's winning, but you don't get to see the in between of that. Like this panel, he's like fighting the Dagora people and he's like,
I'm like, oh, they're going to pin him down. Or
yeah. They're all like bum rushing him. And then like the next panel is like, holy fuck, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty funny. But part 6.
He gets sake with, was his name Jen?
Yeah.
That's fun.
So Jen like robbed Gunichi. I mean, like not robbed him because he's like dead. So he doesn't need his money.
He took his wallet from his wallet dead body.
He's like, let's go get some sake.
Yeah.
And so Usagi and his boy, he's like, they go to the bar. And then in this part, Usagi's heading back to his village to just like go see his family and stuff. But he stops at an inn. And at this inn, he sees his friend that he beat in the tournament, Kenichi. He's just drinking himself to death. He's like super depressed now because he got ahead of himself. And he's like, I want to beat this motherfucker. And then he kicked himself out of the school. And now he's just drinking himself to death.
Yeah.
But, you know, while they're talking, they find out that their home village that they grew up in together is going to be attacked. So they both leave together to go like protect it.
Attacked by like ravagers or whatever.
Yeah, the ravagers.
On page 61, there's a really cool thing at the bottom where it's him telling the story. And then the panel turns into, you know, what the story is. And then like his speech bubble turns into like a caption box.
Yeah, I like that too.
I was like, that's such good storytelling.
Yeah, there's in part one that happened the other way where it was in the past and then what he was saying in the past turned into him telling Jen that in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's so sick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love that a lot. I also like how Kenichi, when he's like super drunk, he's like, Stan like draws on like a 5 o'clock shadow on this bunny that's already furry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really funny. He's got like really good cartooning like effects. So
dude, when Kenichi's like drunk and he looks at Usagi and just like the image of like what his vision of him is like super blurry and
then
it goes to like more clear.
Yeah,
that was really fun.
That's like one of my favorite pages
because I knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah, this one right here. Where,
yeah.
And Usagi looks like super simple and like just dismorphed.
Funny. He looks so cute.
And then like...
Usagi's adorable.
He really is.
He's vicious and definitely dangerous, but he's adorable.
Yeah. That shit's funny. And there's like the last panel of this part, I feel like the sky looks really cool. He does like this thing where it makes it look like Starry Night in a way. Like just the lines that he messes with like in the background are just so cool looking.
He probably drew like the foreground with like the characters and he's like, wow, there's a lot of background, but there's nothing in the background.
So he just like looked at Vincent Van Gogh a little bit and he's like, I could do that.
Yeah, I'll just do my own.
And it worked. So part 7, Usagi and Kenichi stop the attack on their village and Usagi's like fighting alongside his dad.
Daddy Usagi is protecting the village.
Yeah.
Until they got there.
And then they also save Usagi's like crush, who's Mariko.
Mm-hmm.
And so after they like save the city, Usagi shortly leaves after to go serve for Lord Mifune. And then Kenichi in the present later marries Mariko.
Because he just stays there.
Like a backstabbing friend.
I know, that bitch.
Yeah, because Kenichi
stays. I think there was like kind of a, like they both were like crushing on her.
Yeah, they both were, clearly.
It's not like Usagi had like history with her kind of thing.
No. I think they both kind of... I think Usagi would have won, though, like,
yeah,
if he stayed, you know, but which is like kind of a cool thing because that's like part of the tragic like sacrifices you have to make being a samurai.
For loyalty,
that's like
and honor. So.
Yeah. Like you can't get tied down to one spot.
Real quick. So Mariko was like captured by one of the ravagers and he's just like pulling on like her
kimono.
And you see a little rabbit titty.
There's a little rabbit boob here, which is crazy to me. It was so shocking to me.
No rabbit nipples, just like some side boob,
some
cleavage,
some
there.
Some rabbit cleavage, yeah. And, like, which I did not expect.
I like imagined, yeah, there's going to be some human aspects to these anthropomorphic animals, but I did not expect to see a rabbit titty.
I did not expect, yeah, rabbit titty. Somebody jerked off to this, probably.
I wonder.
Not this, putting any fingers or
this
anything.
This is giving me some momentum to keep reading.
I want to know more.
Any more rabbit titties?
Yeah. I mean, like, what do you do?
I don't know.
Maybe like, make less. I mean, it looks like.
I would have made it to where, like, it just kind of looked like it was pulling on a shirt kind of thing on, like, the collar.
Yeah.
But it is really funny, and I'm glad it's there.
Yeah. I wrote that down, and I'm like, some Rico boob there. It's pretty interesting.
I was like, rabbit titty?
Also, there are horses in here, and horses aren't, like, anthropomorphic people. They're horses. And there are so many horses that die in this comic, dude.
Yeah.
Like the one in this issue gets, like, shot with an arrow in the neck, and the way that Stan Sakai, like, makes the horses, like, emote and, like, act is really good, actually. But you just, like, know how much pain they're in because their faces are just so extravagant.
Yeah, with, like, the lettering and then just, like, the colors of, like, red in the background.
Yeah, that also helps create the context.
Definitely.
So, pretty cool. Yeah, so he fights off the village and he's a good old hero. And then part 8, it skips 3 years. And Usagi has been serving for Lord Mifune, who's the tiger guy, for 3 years alongside... what's his face that he killed? Genichi.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an ambush of ninjas that kill Lord Mifune's family, which started like this big war. And then it skips to like the final battle where Usagi, Genichi, and Mifune are on like the front lines about to attack, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you mentioned it before, but the ninjas are dope. They're like these cats, and they like look really cool first off, but it also makes sense that they would be cats because cats are just like going around everywhere.
Just imagine a little cat in like a ninja costume. That's like what he drew here.
And they have like these sweet like brass knuckle spike things that are like on the inside of the palm.
Yeah.
That helps them like climb, which is really cool.
I like in their, I don't know, their little head wraps or whatever. It's just like little ears that pop out too.
they didn't cut out a hole for the ears.
Yeah. Because some of them... Like, whatever, like, animal it is, it's, like, a little ambiguous, and you're not sure.
Yeah.
But...
Like, some of them, like, could be beavers or some shit.
Could be what?
There's, like, some... When you can't really tell what they are, you're like, are those, like, beavers? Or, like, what are they?
Yeah, like, the people in the school or whatever, I'm like, is that, like, a weasel?
Yeah, I can't tell. But I'm like, it's probably a cat or something. But then these are the cats, so it's like, I don't know.
Dude, I love when they're, like, going to war, and they have this, like, full-fledged, like, samurai armor on.
So
good.
It
looks so fucking cool.
Yeah, and, like, Lord Mifune has, like, horns that are, like, Hellboy-looking horns.
And yeah, they got, like, the shoulder pads and, like, little skirt thing.
Yeah, and the coloring's so good, too. Like, there's, like, a lot of lines here.
Dude, this would be so much fucking fun to do. Like, yeah. Can you color this, like, classic comic book?
Yeah.
And just kind of go crazy? Like... Yeah, like, I don't know how you would just, like, because you just, like, start picking colors, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for all these uniforms and stuff like that, I'm sure Stan has, like, a few things to say about it, but for the most part, you can kind of just have a lot of fun with it.
Make it look good. Like, The Walking Dead is doing that right now with The Walking Dead Deluxe.
Yeah.
And they're, like, reprinting every issue but coloring it.
Yeah, which is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
We should reread it and see if we like it more.
In color, yeah. Do the second trade.
I'm sure the zombies look sick in that.
They have to look pretty gruesome now,
like,
with
you
color.
Know, you know that, like... Dead Inside, Don't Open or whatever.
Don't Dead Open Inside, yeah.
Yeah. there's like a panel where like he opens the doors and it's just like a double page spread of a bunch of zombies.
Yeah,
that
I remember that page.
So fucking cool.
Yeah.
They have that when it's like colored, everything's like green and stuff.
Yeah, and they got those Julian Totino Tedesco covers on them and each one of them are so good.
You nailed that name.
Yeah. I like that guy. Follow him on Twitter.
Good guy.
I like how Lord Mifune... And this is, like, on the front lines. He's, like, charging him in himself.
Yeah, dude.
And it's, like, maybe you should, like, chill out.
In fucking, like, Game of Thrones and shit, it's always, like, the king's, like, in the back. And then, like, hey, you go.
Yeah.
And
but this guy's, like, I'm going to fucking kill these guys for my family. And I think that's sick. So, but it's also funny how, like, it just skips, like, a whole 3-year war. And it's just, like, on the last battle.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I guess good because he is, like, telling a story. But also... I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, so they were, like, winning for a while.
Yeah.
So in this last war, and then it just, like, went to shit.
Yeah, so in part 9, it's them actually fighting the fight, and then one of their allies double-crosses them.
Mm.
And so Lord Mifune's, like, troops are pinched by between, like, the traitor and then the guy, the bad guy, whatever his name is.
It's, like, Hideki or something like that?
Yeah, hold on, what's his name?
I fucking wrote it down.
I did too.
Hijiki.
Hijiki, yeah. So that's why. So when the fight, when they get overwhelmed, they're like surrounded, and then Genichi, the guy that Usagi killed, the basis around this whole story, he like abandons the fight.
And yeah, he flees. He's like, hey, we can leave and survive.
Like, yeah, and Usagi's like, no, we need to protect Mifune. And then Genichi's like, there's no honor. That's not like a thing. There's only like survival. And so he like leaves.
The what I kind of distinguish the difference between like ninjas and samurais is like samurais are like normally loyal, super, super loyal to like somebody like yeah. Lord Mifune or whatever. And then ninjas, they're just kind of like guns for hire kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we'll like cut a contract for like a bigger one kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then when Usagi goes to tell Lord Mifune, he just says that he was fallen.
Yeah.
That Genichi,
he like covers for him for some reason.
I don't know. Just be like, this bitch.
Thought, yeah. Like he left us. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. It's like protecting his honor for what kind of thing. It was just weird.
It was interesting. Because he doesn't want, like, rat.
I guess he doesn't want
he's a rabbit. He's not a rat, you know?
Yeah, talk shit, get hit.
So Usagi stays to try and protect Mifune, but Mifune is, like, killed with arrows.
They you get say overrun. He's not a rat? He's a rabbit?
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you caught that.
Just wanted to bring light to that.
So Mifune is killed, and then Usagi, like, doesn't want Mifune's head on a stake, like, at the other people's, like, the other side of the war.
So he just grabs his body and
so he,
bounces.
Like, cuts his head off, I'm pretty sure, and, like, buries it. Like, he's rolling around with, like, just his head.
I thought he took his body.
No, I thought so, too. But then he says that he buries his head. So, that's kind of sick, honestly.
Yeah, because he's got it, like, in his hands.
He's carrying it like a football on this horse. He's like, I need to find somewhere to bury it.
I guess that's fine.
I guess, like, that's probably what Mifune would have wanted. Like, he doesn't want to be, like, a symbol for, like, the other side of the war. But when he goes back to the battle, it was already lost. And then from then on, Usagi was just a ronin, which is a samurai without a master.
I didn't know that's what that meant.
I didn't know that either. It's so cool.
Learning.
I love fucking learning about Asian culture.
Education.
Asian culture is so
cool. Yeah, I know.
And so then that brings him to like the future, and Jen's like, oh, so you killed this guy because he fucking left.
Yeah.
When he needed him most. And he's like, yeah, pretty much. Which is also sick. He's just like had this grudge for like 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
And then they pay for their sake and leave. And that's pretty much like the main story. Then there's like three individual
like
one shots.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool.
This is what I wanted from this trade. It's like, I want to learn what this dude's about, how he got here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just learn how good
he
is.
You learn him, you know, finding his sensei, you know, training with a wooden sword, getting his for real swords, and then being a samurai and getting wronged and shit like that. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot with what feels like a little. Like that was all like 100 pages, what we just talked about. And then there's like three little one shots.
Yeah.
So I'll kind of like briefly cover the one shots, I guess. The first one's called Kappa, and Usagi like was just, I don't know, minding his own business, and he wants to cross a river, and there's like a troll like guy named a Kappa.
It's like a turtle.
I know, but it's like a troll when you want to like cross a bridge or whatever. They're like, you need to give me something.
Yeah.
So it's like that idea. And Usagi's like, well, I got these cucumbers
that he just like found.
Yeah, they're out of season, but I found them. Mm-hmm. And so he like gives them to them. And then when he passes somebody's house, and there's like an old lady there, and he's like, yeah, I found these fucking cucumbers. This shit was crazy. Like, they're supposed to be out of season. And the old lady's like, that's supposed to be for my son when he comes to visit me. And Usagi's like, oh, shit.
So that he can cross.
Yeah, so he can cross. So Usagi's like, shit, I gotta go save this lady's son.
And this Kappa has like mind control powers or something?
Yes.
Like if you can't pay the toll?
But their weakness is that on the top of their head, there's like a crevice where water is. And if that water spills, then they're useless.
Yeah.
Which is the easiest kind of weakness, you know?
Yeah, just kick them over or something.
Yeah. So that's what Usagi does. He like protects this old lady's son, fights the Kappa, fights him off. And then Usagi's like, I was just having dinner with your old lady. And the son's like, my mother died like years ago. I was going to like visit her grave, and like that's how it ends.
And he was like, he was killed. He says that she was killed by a Kappa like a year ago.
Yeah, this turned into like a Hellboy fucking like.
Yeah. And then the last panel was like Usagi's like, what? He's like, ooh.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything. He's just shocked. And I'm like, what is this? Like that was scary.
That's yeah, like, I was like, wow, that was really fun.
That's like those two sentence horror stories or whatever.
This had like silver coin vibes, you know?
Yeah, I know. I really enjoyed that one.
And now
we'll
just never come back to that.
I just want to know what happened.
Yeah.
So that shit was crazy. Then the next one is called A Quiet Meal.
This one's awesome.
Yeah. Usagi basically just goes to a cafe, and then there's like a loud group of guys that come in, and they like terrorize the place, and they kick out the owner and some of the people there. And then they're like, look at this rabbit just eating food. And they go to like fuck with him. And then Usagi scares them off with some like sweet sword skills. And that's pretty much it. But
the guys thought that they're going to like slice him up or whatever because they were trying to get him to fight. Mm-hmm. And he just like swings his sword around and like cuts like six flies in half.
Yeah. The leader is like a like really gross looking pig and there's flies around him.
Oh, I didn't notice those.
So Usagi cuts, like he swings his sword a bunch. No one gets hurt, but then they notice that there are flies like on the ground cut in half, which is so sick.
So badass.
Yeah.
Big flex.
And then they're like, we should not fuck with this guy.
And then they run.
Like, and they run. And that's it. But like Usagi doesn't say anything this whole like one shot.
Just keeps sipping his tea or whatever.
He's just chilling. He's like the Ronin in that Star Wars Visions thing.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't really say anything.
Oh. Do you think he had a master?
He had a master, but not anymore. He used to be the samurai, but now he's the Ronin.
Oh my god.
I know. Hopefully they expand on that.
All these connections.
I know, so good.
So do you want an expansion of all these stories, or do you want like a fresh slate of them, you know?
I only want an expansion on that one.
True.
Or maybe a comic. Just give me something. Like, I loved that story so much.
Come on. Everyone loved that.
There's three
of
them. They
made shirts and stuff.
Three or four of them where I'm like, I want more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the Scott Pilgrim one, give me more of that.
Does the band make it big?
Yeah. So the next one's called the Blind Swords Pig.
I like this guy. He's cool.
Yeah, there's a blind pig with a sword, and he's just trying to fuck off and be by himself, basically.
Yeah.
And he wants to find peace somewhere. But there's like a bounty on his head that everybody kind of knows about, I guess. So when people try and act on the bounty, he just demolishes the towns that he passes through, just defending himself. So Usagi finds one of these towns and he's like, oh shit, I gotta find this guy. And then he finds the blind pig in like a hole. And Usagi's like, we should go on a journey together. And so they're just like walking along, not knowing that this blind pig is the one demolishing these towns.
Mm-hmm.
But when Usagi does piece it together, that it's him causing the destruction, they do a fight. Usagi chops off his nose and it kind of like ends there, but then the pig man gets a wooden nose and he's like, I want revenge.
I guess he's able to like smell like with this wooden nose, like this pig's prosthetic like a nose or whatever.
Yeah. This dude's like a daredevil, but instead of with ears, it's with his nose. it's with a snout.
Yeah.
I don't understand how a wooden snout would help, you know?
Yeah, not actually, but
it's just like, it's like a wooden thing that he just like ties
like,
onto his face.
I think like the nostrils themselves gives you the sense of smell, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I guess I know. Like a very like YA, I guess like kind of kids book almost. Cause there's not like violence in this. It's not like, it's not bloody or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's violence, but it's like, it's not gruesome or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very lighthearted. Like, and it will work really good as a cartoon.
Yeah. I agree. I cannot wait.
So in cartoon, logic, that would work.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. There's also a dope line that this pig says where he says, I know only victory or death. And I think that's a sick line.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, there's a sweet little origin story for a villain there. Maybe it comes up later. I hope he does.
Blind Eno?
Yeah. And then there's the last one, which is Lone Rabbit and Child. So there's like this kid who's like a panda. And his dad just died, meaning that he's like the new clan leader. And so Usagi helps as like a bodyguard to get the kid to his clan. Like he's trying to get him there because he's not there currently. So there's also a vassal, which I don't know what that means or how that's different to a bodyguard, but that's like the girl or like the mom looking figure in this.
Did they call him vassals? A retainer?
No.
They call him retainers, don't they?
Because Usagi says, I have no desire to harm you or your vassal, child. And like Usagi was also a vassal at some point. I don't know what that means, but.
Huh. Okay.
So Usagi tries to help them, and when they go to try and cross a river, they get ambushed and the kid's vassal is flung into the river. And so Usagi's like, I'll guide you the rest of the way. And so he has to like fight ninjas and stuff, and they make it. This one's kind of like a weak story, but the vassal ends up being okay. But at the end we find out that the evil Lord Hikiji, who's the one that started the war that killed Usagi's master, Mifun, is like a person.
Yeah, it's like just some dude,
which is like for me a crazy twist, because everybody up to this point has been an anthropomorphic animal, and
wrong.
Then this dude comes up.
Nathan, they're walking through the village or whatever, and Gru the Wanderer walks by Usagi Yojimbo, which is a character that Stan Sakai used to letter on.
Gru the Wanderer?
Yeah.
In this issue? In this one-shot story?
Yep.
What does he look like? Do you see him?
Yeah, because like he looks at a guy, and then the guy looks at him, and he's like, "Who's this smelly guy or whatever?" Hang on, I gotta find the page.
Is it this dude?
No.
Oh.
It, like, you see his face. I'm like, I know that fucking guy. And I was like, what's his name? Gru or something? It's like G-R-O-O.
Hmm.
Okay, so page 149, the middle panel, all the way to the right. And he's like, ugly barbarian. And then thought bubble. And then the guy next to him says, stupid samurai. Okay. That's a character that's like in...
But that doesn't look like a person.
That's a dude.
Why do you think his ears on the top?
That's where are your ears at?
Disagree.
I'm just kidding.
I thought that was a pig or something. But anyway, yeah, so Lord Hikiji is the person that started the war.
Hijiki, like, dude.
Hijiki?
Sound it out.
I wrote it down as Hikiji.
H-I-J-I-K-I.
Okay.
Hijiki.
So,
but anyway.
Yeah, we never really knew like the other side of the war, so that was kind of cool to see at the end of this and how it's like a dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that's interesting.
How there's like real people in this. What I liked about this story is like this little panda boy who just lost his like bodyguard or whatever. He like insists on finding her, and they find her.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we have to leave her because we have to protect you or whatever. He's like, oh, we'll go to a town to save her. And Usagi's like, no, we'll be spotted and you'll be killed or whatever. And then like the Lord was like willing to take that chance in order to save like his bodyguard. And
yeah,
his bodyguard like ends up surviving, which is cool. Yeah,
that was cool.
So I like that bit.
And it's kind of crazy that like you could just be whatever age and like all of a sudden you're just the leader of this clan now.
Yeah.
So obviously that kid's taking on a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's like the whole book. And I thought it was great. This is just a delight. It absolutely holds up because this is originally drawn and shit in like the 80s. And yeah. I had a blast. I think it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Usagi.
Yeah, I want to flip through like one of the newer run just to see like how his art has come.
I want to see the TMNT Usagi crossover. That show would be cool.
Space Usagi.
Space Usagi. Yeah, I want to see him being a Ronin in space.
Yeah, dude,
that'd be sick.
Anyway,
but let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So we got some covers, I think.
Probably variants. I don't know.
I think these are all drawn by Stan.
I think this probably had.
Yeah, these are like, all Sakai.
This is obviously like very anime influenced, you know? So I think with all the chapters is how it was originally released. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I would like to know the story because I don't think that they were traditional comics. Like you go to the store and pick them up. They might have been like included in other things because they're only like 10 pages or whatever.
Because like,
or maybe they were split into multiple parts per issue because there's only like 6 covers here.
There's Japanese like publishers who have like really big like magazines that they'd come out, and each one would have like a chapter of a different book.
Mm.
And so I'd have like a handful of chapters in there, and then that's how you stayed up to date on like stories. So you kind of read everything.
Yeah.
So it might have been something like that.
Looking at these covers, it looks like there's 5 covers for like the main story. So maybe each book had like 2 parts in it.
Uh-huh.
2 chapters. And then there's 2 covers for like the blind pig and then the panda boy. So I don't know, but he's a great cover artist.
Yeah, these are sick.
He's got a good sense of just like filling the page with crazy shit. So pretty cool, pretty cool. And then there's some original designs of Usagi, which is cool. Like even just like this one on like a piece of paper where it's like the...
Yeah, I think he had a pretty good idea of what he wanted this dude to look like.
Yeah, he looks mean here too.
Yeah, man.
Or like this black and white of him in like the samurai armor, just completely surrounded. Also super sick.
Yeah, that one's so sick.
It's so cool. Like it would be so cool to just have like a page.
Oh yeah.
Of this. Because it's so gritty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So super cool. Like I'm glad that this guy is finding success with this character because it's just genuinely like very fun. And I feel like I learned, and it's cool seeing anthropomorphic animals in like samurai armor and like kimonos and shit. Like it's really cool. Like this,
it's a very appealing.
Jen looks really cool in this.
Yeah, you know? Definitely good concept for
some
sure.
Sick fits. And then there's a creator bio on Stan Sakai. So what I learned is that he was born in Japan, grew up in Hawaii, and now lives in California. Again, Usagi Yojimbo first appeared in the comic book Albedo Anthropomorphics number 2 in 1984, but since then Usagi's been on television as a guest of the TMNT and has been made into toys, seen on clothing, and his own stories have been collected in more than 36 graphic novels and translated into 16 languages.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. And then Stan is also the recipient of a Parents' Choice Award, an Ink Pot Award, an American Library Association Award, 2 Harvey Awards, 5 Spanish Hacksters, and 8 Will Eisner Awards.
God damn. And, 8?
And 2 National Cartoonist Society Silver Rubens. Like the sandwich, I guess.
Yeah, cool.
And I guess in 2011, Stan received the...
With silver sauerkraut?
Yes. Stan received the Cultural Ambassador Award from the Japanese American National Museum for spreading Japanese history and culture through his stories. And Stan was awarded the inaugural Joe Kubert Excellence in Storytelling Award in 2018 and inducted in the Will Eisner Hall of Fame in 2020. So
this is a pretty updated... When did this trade come out?
I don't know. Pretty recently, because it's talking about shit in 2020, and like the Eisners happened like late in the year, right? So
I thought it was like summer, because that's like when Comic-Con is.
Oh, yeah. It must be the summer, huh? Because that's when San Diego is.
Yeah. Because that's where they have it, don't they?
Yeah. And it says that he's currently developing an Usagi animated series
for Netflix. Yeah, dude, this came out like a year ago. Like that's sick. April 7th, 2021.
Look at us reading recent trades.
Look at us. There we go.
Even though these are 80s stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stan's a fucking legend.
Absolute goat.
The world should protect him. He also just looks so nice in this like little picture of him where he's just like standing.
The nicest guy.
Yeah. He'd be a sweet, sweet uncle to have.
Absolutely. Imagine. Uncle Stan.
So, yeah, that was a delight. I definitely recommend that.
I'm really glad we got to that because I've been wanting to read it.
Yeah, what would you rate this trade?
Hey, then gotta have it.
It's a gotta have it. Yeah.
No. Here, better.
Okay.
So there's a Japanese ice cream. It's called mochi.
Okay. Yeah. Love
this,
mochi.
This is just a fucking what's it called when it's like a lot of things, an assortment of mochi, like a big old box of mochi.
Tons of mochis.
Tons of mochis. This is all the flavors.
This is a big carrot cake for me.
So dumb.
And I like carrot cake.
This is a bunch of colored eggs for me.
this is one of those big chocolate Easter bunnies.
Better yet, this is a gotta have it with Reese's eggs in it.
The egg flavored Reese's.
Love yeah. and the little fucking like the Whopper eggs.
Yeah. Or those Cadbury crunchy cream eggs. Throw that in there. I actually hate those. I don't think
they're not very good.
No.
What are those eggs that used to have like candy in them? Do you remember those?
Cadbury cream eggs, right?
No, it's something.
No, those had toys in them, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, people would like choke on them.
Yeah, it was, and then they just came back for some reason. I'm like, yeah. These are still a hazard. Like, I don't know.
It's not like people got better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was great. That was very refreshing, I feel like, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Just read.
It's like a cleanser, you know?
Historical comics that like hold up and are fun to read still. So
it's kind of like a chaser comic, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
You feel good, don't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the pull list, Nathan.
Yeah,
Colin. Let's do it.
Shove it in your box.
Yeah, how do you like that, Nathan? It'll taste your own medicine.
I don't like it. It's very aggressive.
The pull is, the pull is. What did you shove in your box?
Dana, what did you pick up this week?
Lots of stuff to pick up this week. Let's see here.
I actually had a light week.
Wow. I got Batman the Knight, number 4. Got Black Hammer Reborn, 11. Got Hulk, number 6.
Is that ending at 12, Black Hammer? Or no.
I fucking hope not.
Or maybe 18? I think it's ending soon.
I don't
soon.
Like to think about Black Hammer ending because it really bums me the fuck out, okay?
You're not even caught up.
Okay. Doesn't mean I want it to stop.
Yeah, true. That's fair.
Anyway, I got Hulk number 6 and World's Finest number 2, Nathan.
Nice.
And I picked up number 1. I got a Jerry Seinfeld variant.
Jerry Seinfeld?
One. Yeah, you know that Netflix show where he goes and gets coffee with different celebrities?
Yeah.
The variant is him in a car, probably in the Batmobile with Batman, and they're going to get coffee, I think. let me find
let
it.
Me see
it's
it.
Right here.
It's like a picture of Jerry Seinfeld.
No, it's like a drawing.
I thought you like fucked up somebody's name.
Yeah, they're in the 66 Batmobile.
Oh my god. Did Dan Mora draw Jerry Seinfeld for this?
I don't know who drew it. Does it look like Dan Mora's art?
It's called the Jerry Seinfeld in the Batmobile getting coffee variant cover.
Hell yeah, dude.
It says that in the bottom.
It said when I scanned it, you know how like the first cup, the normal cover is like 1A?
Yeah.
And then the variant's like 1B?
This is 1J?
It sure was.
Oh my god. That's so dumb.
That's so
bizarre. Yeah, that's like the...
I looked at the other ones, and I'm like, this one's way cooler.
That's like the Adam West Batmobile, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
Is that fun?
That is fun.
Who the fuck drew this?
The cover, I think, is Dan Mora. It looks like Dan Mora's Batman.
Probably, but I don't know.
Can you look... normally, it's on the inside cover, who did all the variants, right?
Really? Okay. Oh, there's like a lot of fucking people. Jim Lee, Scott Williams, Alex Sinclair, Stanley Lau, Jason Fabick, Brad Anderson, Chip Zdarsky, Doc Shaner, Lily Weeks.
Chip did a cover?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, man.
So, this looks like...
I think that's Dan Mora. Just knowing what his Batman looks like, I think that was him.
Might be Lee Weeks. We'll see.
Definitely not.
I might find out someday.
That's cool. Yeah, there's no fucking I also picked signature. Up World's Finest Number 2. I saw some pictures that Dan Mora tweeted. Looks great. I'm excited to read that.
The cover's got Doom Patrol on it. How can you say no?
I got Batman the Knight number 4 as well, and also Hulk, and those are the only three things that I got.
Okay.
I was like looking for more things to pick up, but I was like, if I just get more, it's just more I'm not going to read. So I might as well just be happy with a three book week, you know?
True.
Catch up on stuff. But yeah, most excited for World's Finest.
Did you read anything, Nathan?
I did not, actually.
I had a lot of time on my birthday. I chose not to do anything except for read and watch some movies.
Cool.
I read Chew number 7 and 8. I'm not caught up on that because I just got 7 the other like a couple weeks ago.
Okay, cool.
And then I read Hulk number 3. Nothing really happens in that, but I just know that book's crazy.
Yeah, it gets fucking wild.
Yeah. Anyway,
even more wilder.
Oh, dude, I found this new fucking... Okay, so I went to the comic shop last week and I saw this manga. And it was like this little like Asian guy with like a gun.
Okay.
And he's like great. An old guy. And so I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I read like the first issue because it was like on the Shonen Jump app, which I'm like subscribed to.
Oh, cool.
And it is so much fun. It's called Sakamoto Days.
Cool.
And it's about this retired fat assassin. You know that like Kim's Convenience show that I told you about?
Yeah.
It's like if Mr. Kim was like a retired assassin and just like opened up a convenience store.
That's sick.
He like daydreams about like murdering customers and stuff like that and like how he would do it. He doesn't talk, and he had this like old like person that worked under him that like went to go like assassinate him. And mm-hmm. this kid can just like read minds. So...
That's convenient.
Dude, yeah, Sakamoto never needs to like talk, but this guy can read his mind. That's how they like communicate. So yeah, this dude just like owns a convenience store, and then like this assassin organization like thinks he should die because he left or whatever.
Oh.
And so it's just him protecting this convenience store.
Dude, and I love that.
It's really fucking funny. Like he was like sucking on a cough drop, and like a bullet was coming out of his face, and he just spit it out and like blocked the bullet with this cough drop. And I'm like, that's so fucking cool.
I don't know if it would work that way, but...
And he's like, he's just as good at, like, killing as he was before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he fell in love and then got fat because his wife's a good cook and things like that. And so, it's really fun. It just came out... So, the first volume came out, like, last week or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But the chapters have been coming out since, like, last year. So, there's, like, 66 chapters. So that's like my new obsession right now.
That's pretty
cool.
For
mangas.
I just imagine if like the Punisher finds happiness and he's like, I don't need to be angry anymore.
Yeah.
And just opens up a shop in New York.
I imagine like the Punisher opening up like a deli for some reason.
Maybe, yeah.
But anyway, that's a lot of fun.
Nice.
I have a buddy at work who like reads a ton of manga and reads or watches a ton of anime, and he knew about it. I'm like, you know about this? Just like,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I had no one to talk to about this. He's read like Chainsaw Man and shit like that.
Cool.
And so it's good to talk to somebody. Did you watch anything?
I did. I watched a few things.
Let's hear it.
I watched the last 2/3 of Turning Red, that Pixar movie.
Okay.
I was good? Like coming back from the gym. Uh-huh. And Sophia was like doing homework, but she likes to have something on, and Turning Red was on. And I was like so tired that I couldn't move. So I was just like watching it just because. And I think that it has like a pretty bad rap on the internet for some reason, but I thought it was delightful.
Yeah, I think it's just like people the don't theme like, of it.
Yeah, the character designs, which I think are very modern and like realistic.
Sure.
But also like kind of like caricatures of just like kids and how crazy they are, you know,
mm-hmm.
those crazy kids. But I thought it was funny. Like I caught myself laughing a couple times, and like there's a couple like her dad is like super boring, and just the things that he does in that movie make me laugh. Like, there's some good like dad humor, but he ends up being a really cool guy. And but I thought it was great. The animation was really cool, and it just like made me laugh a couple times. So I was genuinely surprised. Like, I wasn't anticipating on watching that movie.
Uh-huh.
But like the last two thirds of it, I was like, this is pretty good. You know?
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, a resident sleeper, I would say.
Huh.
I also watched Windfall, which is a Netflix movie with about three or four characters. It stars Jason Segel.
Okay.
Basically, he plays a guy that is burglaring. What's the word there?
Stealing?
He's burgling. I think that's the word, actually.
Okay.
He's burgling this, like, billionaire's house.
I did hear about this. Is it good?
It's so cool.
Okay, I'll have to watch it.
He's, like, burgling this billionaire's house while the billionaire's,
hostage,
like,
right?
On vacation. And then the billionaire and his wife come back unexpectedly. You know, he's not supposed to be back. Yeah. And so he has to, like, take them hostage.
Uh-huh.
And he was just going to, like, rob them real quick and, you know, just take some money from them because he said there were no, like, cameras or anything. But then as he's leaving, he discovers the camera. So he has to, like, take them hostage. And, like, the situation changes. And he's like, I need more money now because now I have to, like, start a new life kind of deal.
Hmm.
But the idea is that they can't just get, like, a ridiculous amount of money, like, in seconds, you know. You got to, like, put in requests, and it's, like, it takes, you know, at least some time. So it's just him.
Couple business days.
Yeah. And so it's just him, like, kind of keeping them hostage, and they're, like, walking around this billionaire's house that, like, they barely do anything at anyway. Mm. And it's just really interesting seeing, like, because I think what's really good about it is the score, first off. It's just, cool. Like, really different, and you're, like, this is kind of new. And then the character development is also really interesting because you're kind of just like in the middle of everything. Like, you don't really know who this guy is that's burglaring or like this billionaire. Like, you find out a little bit of like why this guy hates this billionaire
for
like a couple different reasons. And then like you find out there's some trouble with like their marriage and stuff. And
so the plot develops.
Yeah. So like really interesting plot that develops kind of like slowly.
Do you recommend it?
Yes. 100%. I think it was awesome.
Okay,
and the
yeah.
ending I thought was sick.
Sick.
Because it's like, how do you end something like that, you know? But I think they did a great job.
Either he gets out of there or he doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's cool.
But yeah, it was great. And it builds a lot of tension very well.
Okay.
So I think it was cool. It's a good little movie. And it wasn't like super long. It was like less than an hour and a half, I'm pretty sure. So good
nice.
Pacing. And Jason Segel's great. He's a great actor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
What else, Nathan? What else did you watch?
Other than that, it was just Moon Knight for me.
Okay. I watched The French Dispatch.
Oh, cool. Wes Anderson?
Yes, sir. That is the most Wes Anderson movie I've ever seen.
Like, really?
That shit was like, I'm like, he's just getting like a little pretentious about it. He's like, you like my movies?
Here's one of my
movies.
Look
at this setting that looks fake as fuck.
Nice. Did you like it? I feel like this stuff's like fun to watch in general.
It is fun to watch. It's not my favorite movie from him. It's like higher than a lot of his. But I think most of it was just like kind of the performances, not necessarily like the story itself.
Okay.
And just kind of his style that was entertaining. But I'm not like, wow. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. I also watched Train to Busan. Have you seen that or heard about it?
No.
So it's like.
Sounds familiar.
It's one of like the more well-known like zombie movies. It's like a Korean movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's got Gilgamesh in it. That's like kind of where he got like really famous. The guy who's in Eternals, the Asian guy who punches stuff.
Oh, that guy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's in that. And then like the salesman that was in like Squid Game that was on the in the subway. He's in that too. He's like the main character.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun. It was in...
Was it dubbed? Subbed or...
Subbed.
Okay.
And so I'm sure there's a dubbed version out there, but it's just like zombies on a train, basically.
Like, yeah, that's great. So,
and then just think about like all the shit that can go wrong with that.
I love zombies, but in this setting, you know.
Yeah, I didn't love the ending. It just like I'm just like that was dumb, you know, like the things that happened.
Sure,
but anyway, it was good overall, you know.
Cool.
A couple more episodes of Breaking Bad, you know, chugging along on that. And then I watched a movie called The Bubble. Have you heard about that?
Uh-uh.
It's on Netflix. It's Judd Apatow's latest film.
Oh, about making movies during COVID.
Yeah.
Okay, I have seen that. Or I haven't seen it, but I've seen that that's a thing.
Yeah, there's some funny parts. It wasn't my favorite movie from him, but...
It's got, like, his daughter in it.
I think so.
Maude Apatow. She's in, like, Euphoria.
I don't think that's her. I think it's a...
100% it's her. I'll bet you money right now.
Does he have two daughters?
It's got maybe $2, but I know of one's existence for sure.
From Euphoria. Yes, I know that. I know that's how everyone knows her, but even though she's been in other things.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was fun. I mean, it seemed kind of long, but... And then it ends up being like... It ends, it's not like a spoiler, but like... It just ends up becoming a documentary about like how badly this making this movie process was. And it was just really funny.
I assume that that'll happen to at least a couple movies.
It had like a superstar cast.
Yeah, it was, I saw it. It was like a lot of people.
I was like, Pedro Pascal's in this?
I know, yeah.
And yeah, it was really fun though.
That's cool.
Anyway, should we get into Moon Knight, Nathan?
Yeah, let's get into Moon Knight, episode 4.
Big ass spoilers, guys.
Big ass spoilers.
Let's just start from the beginning.
Yeah, they're in Egypt.
They're in some kind of tomb or something.
They get into the tomb.
They find Alexander the Great in his casket or whatever.
Steven's having a nerdgasm the whole time. He's like, holy shit, we're in here.
That's guess crazy. Alexander the Great was Amit's avatar at one point.
Which is a fun idea.
I like that too.
Yeah. What's funny is that Steven Grant's supposed to know like all this like crazy archaeological stuff. And then when they get into whatever tomb that they're in, he's like, I recognize this Egyptian symbol, and it's just the Eye of Amit. Like, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Like, there's thousands of tattoos of that.
Wait, isn't it the... symbol?
Or Eye of Horus.
Horus, yeah.
Yeah. Which is like... It's just funny. Good job, dude. Everybody knows that. Yeah. Great job. I just thought that was funny. But yeah, there's...
So the toy...
Before we get to Alexander.
Okay.
Do you remember when Layla was kind of like off on her own, and she had to fight that weird...
It's like some... like monster, zombie thing?
Zombie monster thing.
Yeah.
She like rips off that dude's arm, and then that dude tries to stab her with like the broken bone coming out of his arm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's metal. The coolest thing I've ever seen.
Not holding back.
Yeah. Good use of just being like amputee. Egyptian, whatever, you know, that was cool. But we get the twists, spoilers, that Mark killed Layla's dad.
No, he was there.
He was there.
He didn't do it. He didn't stop them.
Yeah. He was with one of his boys. I think it's going to end up being Frenchie, but who knows? Because we haven't seen like any sort of Frenchie.
What do you mean Frenchie?
Like there's a dude.
Oh, the Frenchie guy.
Not the boys.
I'm like, crossover with the boys?
But there's a dude named Frenchie, and he was like, in the comics at least, he was like there with him.
Okay.
But Frenchie isn't the one that killed him. I don't know. I forget who actually shot him, so maybe it's not Frenchie. But yeah, that was an interesting twist.
So Khonshu was turned into like a toy thing, and he's imprisoned.
Yeah, he was.
Turned Amit into a was pest. Also done. That happened to her or
to,
him.
Yeah, to Amit.
Long time ago, and that toy was like in Alexander the Great's like throat
because Alexander was the voice of Amit.
Yeah,
and so
that's fun.
Steven's like just got a gamble, and he's like, I bet it's in his fucking gullet right now. And so he just like reaches his arm down there. And he's like, oh, this is gross. I don't like this. He
rips off like the bandages or whatever and then pulls down his jaw.
And it like breaks. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, he's going to bite down on you right now. Any second.
Yeah, I know. I thought, who puts their hand in there? Yeah. I'm like, this is like a huge historical figure that he's just like defiling right now.
I was like,
anyway. And so, and then Harrow just shows up and he has like a gun for some reason.
Harrow?
Yeah.
He like pulls a gun off of somebody, doesn't he?
Oh, I know. He just seemed like he had it. I'm like, is this his weapon right now?
I think he pulls it off of somebody, I want to say. Because Mark stabs a guy with one of Alexander the Great's axes or whatever. I don't know what his plan there was.
He knocked out a couple guys.
Because when that happened,
then threw it.
There was like 10 guys. And I'm like...
There's like 6 guys.
There's like 6 guys. But regardless, too much for Mark to just get out of with an axe.
Moon Knight would have handled that.
Moon Knight probably would have, yeah. Because he's got plot armor. Mm-hmm. But 6 guys against one dude with an axe, I'm like, if he manages to fight all these people, I'm gonna be a little pissed.
Yeah.
But he ends up getting shot, and I'm like, holy shit.
Twice. By Harrow.
And I'm like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and then
it turns into a mind fuck.
He just like wakes up in like a psych ward or something.
And I'm so glad that it didn't just end this episode with, oh, Mark's in a psych ward. It like elaborated on it a little bit to where you're like, okay, there's clearly some funky shit going on.
You're like, what the fuck is happening?
If it ended on just a psych ward, I'd be like, god damn it.
So he's in like a wheelchair and Layla's like a nurse. He has like
Layla's like a crazy person as well, I think.
Oh, I thought she was a nurse.
No, she seems a bit funky. I don't know.
Okay, and but so he's Mark's, got like a Moon Knight toy, which I thought was fun.
And Mark's favorite spot is in front of like a window that has a reflection, which he sees as Steven Grant. And Steven Grant's a movie character. And who's like supposed to be like an Indiana Jones type character.
Who's called
like
really, Tomb Buster.
Yeah, Tomb Buster. Which is like, And Stephen Grant's like the best archaeological explorer guy or whatever.
And he's British.
Yeah. Which is very fun. It's very fun how they connected all the dots. And so like Hammond, what's his name?
Harrow. He's like Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
He's like a psychiatrist there.
Yeah. And he's like, I can help you. And I'm like, I believe this so far. I'm like, this is all.
I was like, oh, shit, all connecting. Dude. I'm like,
he wears Crocs or whatever. Or
the same sandals. The same or whatever. Sandals. He's got the cane and shit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things he's like recognizing
and,
there.
And in his office are a bunch of like Egyptian things. And so I'm like, this is cool. At first, I thought that it was going to be Jake Lockley. Like,
yeah, me too. I'm like, is that his name?
I'm like, it's got to be it.
Is this all in just Jake Lockley's Jake, head?
And I'm
going to
shit my pants, right?
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yeah, but so then
he just like leaves, like he like breaks out of that like appointment or whatever.
Yeah,
he starts goes into some random room where there is like an Egyptian tomb. What do they call that? The thing where the bodies go in.
Yeah. I know what you're referring to. I don't know what it's called. Just tomb.
Yeah, and there's one in there. He opens it. And then Steven just pops up.
Yeah.
So there's two like, Oscar Isaacs
they're
here.
They're talking to each other. And then they run. And then there's like a big hippo god.
There's like a hippo lady that says hi.
Yeah. And then
and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
And I love it so much.
So they like talk to each other and they hugged.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow. This is not just like in his head. And he's not just tripping.
But it also could be because like you don't just like talk to yourself.
Normally. Not supposed to, I guess.
But that hippo god was referenced in like the first episode. He's like carrying like a box of plushies and it's just like there's like a bunch of hippos and he's like this guy the hippo god or this girl the hippo god.
Yeah. I did not think there'd be like any kind of twist like this in the show at all.
I thought
this was going to wrap up in 6 episodes and now I'm like what the fuck are they going to do in 2 more episodes?
I actually like had this thought going in. I'm like, okay, it's episode 4. Maybe this will be like kind of like a burner episode. But no, it's like the biggest twist in like Marvel probably. And now they're on track to have it, I think, stick the landing because, like, the next episode will be building up to the finale and then last episode's the finale episode. So I really like just the format of the show so far.
Yeah.
But yeah, the twist was cool and I'm, like, even more interested because before it seemed like this was just going to be, like, a national treasure kind of type adventure with Khonshu.
Because they're like, we got to find this little toy thing and then not let Harrow get it.
Yeah.
And then...
There's a
That's
thing
it, basically.
That a bad guy wants and a good guy wants, and we got to get to that thing first. But now it's like it's been taken to a whole new level, and I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. I have no idea what's happening, but I'm having a great time.
Yeah, it's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for the next episode. I have no idea what to expect.
This is like the episode I'm like, I think Sarah would love this. Like if I just like if we just binged it, I think she'd be into it, kind of thing.
Yeah,
because like. I wasn't looking or waiting or trying to predict any kind of like twist or anything like that. But
yeah.
who doesn't love a twist?
Yeah.
And so that was like a convincing episode for me to show her that. So
Okay, cool.
I might like run her through it.
Yeah. Once Sophia it's all done. Hasn't been watching it with me either, but I might show her the first episode and see what she thinks.
Yeah. Cause we got to watch it, you know, during the day in the morning.
Yeah.
When they're at work and stuff.
Yeah.
There's no time,
but it's great. I'm loving it.
Good stuff.
All right, Nathan. What are we watching? What are we reading next week?
Let's take a look at the old list.
Do we have anything coming out, like movie wise?
No, the next thing is Doctor Strange, which is like next week.
Okay, we'll figure that out later.
Do you want to have a Doctor Strange episode like the week before so that it'll be out?
There's like a Brian K. Vaughan Doctor Strange that's supposed to be pretty good.
There's a Jason Aaron one too.
Oh, true. Well, I do want to read that one.
Yeah, me too.
We'll figure it out.
I'd prefer that, I think.
Okay.
So, probably just first trade of that, right?
Wait, because when does it come out?
Oh, Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
The 6th? So, that's 2 Fridays away. So, if we do it next week, then it would be out like a week before the movie.
Should we do that? I think we should probably do that, huh?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so what's the Doctor Strange one called?
Volume 1, 2015 to 2018, The Way of the Weird. Chris Bachalo is the artist.
Yes, he is. That guy's crazy.
115 pages, 5 issues. Sounds good.
The Way of the Weird.
The Way of the Weird, Nathan.
I looked up... Oh, just kidding.
It's like the one with the yellow background.
Yeah. I looked up Doctor Strange and nothing came up, but it's because I spelled his name wrong.
Doctor Strange. Yeah, it's on Comixology Unlimited. We love that shit.
So we'll do that. That'll be a good old time.
We love free comics.
Love me some Jason Aaron.
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong. Because, like... There's actually quite a few good runs, like, by people that we know. Like,
yeah.
Donnie Cates did a run recently.
Yep.
I didn't even know about a BKV run.
Mm-hmm.
So, sounds good.
Cool. thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
If you want to contact us, tell us what are some good Doctor Strange stories that we won't come up, we won't read for a while. Or any anything that's coming up, if you're like, you should read this, you know, before the movie comes out, let us know.
Like Super Pets.
Yeah.
What should we read for Super Pets?
What's the best Super... There's got to be a definitive Super Pets run.
Yeah, definitely.
When does that come out?
The 20th. May 20th.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, May's a fucking stacked month for us.
Yeah, because then we got Kenobi and Bob's Burgers. Can't
oh my
forget
God.
About Bob's Burgers.
That's the one I'm most excited for. But if you want to tell us what to read, tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or via Twitter @tradewaiterspod.
Follow us on TikTok. I swear I'll make more TikToks.
We'll do
at
that.
Trade Raiders.
And that's pretty much it, I think, right? Is that what we say?
Yep, that's all the stuff.
All right, cool. Later, bitches.
Yeah, bye.